Welcome to this edition of the Vanderbilt University Health and Wellness Wellcast. I'm Ralph Topham with Work-Life Connections, EAP. I'm here with Margie Gale. She's a colleague of mine at Work-Life Connections, EAP. She's also the Nurse Wellness Program Specialist. But Margie, you've also done a lot of work with domestic violence. Could you review that experience for us, please?
Yes, I have been interested in helping people with domestic violence for over 30 years, working as a nurse, educating in the community when I read the very first book on domestic violence. And for the past 10 years, I've served as the facilitator for the group in Williamson County, working with women every single week who are recovering from domestic violence abuse.
And this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
It is. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month and is a good time to become acquainted with the process of domestic violence, recognizing early danger signals, and knowing about resources that a person can seek to get out of that process.
And what are some of those early warning signals, if you will?
I'd like to put them in about three areas. A psychologist from Arkansas, well-known Lydia Walker, once was asked to come up with the 15 danger signs. They're laminated. Most agencies have them. We actually have them here at Vanderbilt, too. I took them and put them into three areas, and the three areas are looking at issues with boundaries, having excessive emotion in the relationship, and then dealing with aggressive and then hostile behavior. And I can go back through each of those and give an example.
All right. Why don't we start with boundaries?
One of the signals for that would be if you're in a relationship where the other person wants to get involved really fast. When you find that your boundaries as a person get eroded and it's too fast, that should be a little bit of a warning sign. This may be getting too intense too quickly. It can't be this good all the time.
If I were involved in this relationship, though, and I'm really excited about it, wouldn't I want to continue it and want it to go faster?
I might, but as I realize and begin to say, this is different from even other relationships. As soon as I met this person, I'm now spending almost 24 hours a day with him. They're calling my friends. They're already wanting to meet all my family. I might begin to get a feeling in the pit of my stomach of, wow, this is faster than it's happened. And I feel special, but it's almost too special.
What about excessive emotion?
An example of excessive emotion would be jealousy, that the person seems to be really wonderful up at the beginning, but pretty quickly in this, again, boundaries, wants to spend all their time with me and begins saying, there's so much time, I don't want you to spend any time with your own family. So they begin to get jealous, not even just of, say, it's another male, but of male coworkers, of your own brother, your family, spending time calling your mom and dad. They begin to say, don't call that family member. Don't go over for Sunday dinner. And again, you begin to get this feeling of, I'm very happy with this person. I feel wonderful when I'm with them, but I begin to feel sad about not spending time with people who've been in my life for many years.
Okay, so I become isolated in a way from my friends and family and so on. Well, what if he or she is calling me all the time, Margie?
If they're calling me all the time, I may like that attention. Again, I feel special, but it also may be I'm with them so much, but it may interfere with work. They're calling me at work. One of the flags I might get is that people at work are saying, he or she's calling you again, because I may have to get reminded that that's too many personal phone calls at work. That would be a red flag.
Okay, so my colleagues might actually help me, in a sense, provide a second viewpoint and give me some external guidance on, you know, just how much I am being interfered with. Very good.
The third one would be looking at their behavior, and an example of that would be if the person, and this is one that doesn't happen till later, but if you hear that the person has ever hit someone before, hit women before, that clearly we know that previous behavior often repeats itself. But that, again, is not one that we often hear of. You may not hear that till much later on. So the second one I'd add to that would be as things begin to go along, and it may take a few weeks to months, but if it happens early on, then ooh, this is not a good sign. Even though things are going well, they may start with behavior that they'll hurt you, such as, I could just hit you, or I could just smack you, or I could break your neck, but then they would say, I'm just kidding. That's pretty serious behavior and something that we can't minimize or dismiss. So that gets at that process of the person says, oh, Margie, it's just you. I said I was kidding. Don't be so serious about that. But the fact is, that's a clear message that someone, most people would never even say that, a statement like that.
Okay, so the words these are sort of an emotional impact on the initial words, I could hurt you, I could do whatever. But the second part is just almost an erasure that doesn't really matter, doesn't count. So if we hear that erasure, we shouldn't pay attention to it.
Yes.
We should really pay attention to our gut, as you said, and respond with the looking at the relationship thoroughly and just saying, is this a relationship that I want to continue?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Margie, is there anything else that we need to cover?
Well, yes, yeah. I wanted to just mention that one of the things I think is helpful, these begin to work together. And the triad of domestic abuse is that we've got a vulnerable person, and we can't say exactly what that person is. It may be someone who's never dealt with an aggressive person before. They may not have come from a background where there was abuse in their household, so they don't recognize it. So we can't say everyone had been abused before. Or a person may be vulnerable because they came from a family where there was abuse as it went along, and at a higher stage, they saw the ravages of it. But in the early stage with this new partner, they don't recognize it. The second part of the triad is an abuse-prone individual. Again, not every person who may have been hurt as a child is going to hurt someone else, but there may be some learned behavior. And then the third one that really sets it into motion is increased stress. And one of the things that happens, that maybe a person loses their job, they may find out that they had a child from another marriage and now they owe a lot of back child support. That makes them feel irritable and angry. And just the economy right now is an additional stress. So with those three put together in emotion, as I said, a person may say, I could hurt you, and you might normally want to call your mom and say, I'm worried, is this okay? But if I've already begun to get isolated from my family, I might not have that checkback measure that I would have used 3 months ago or 4 months ago. So my recommendation would be 98% of the people, and those are mostly women, whom I work with, don't recognize this whole process until they begin to have someone tell them to look at it, and they can't even see it in themselves. They can come in and talk one-on-one, and I certainly recommend that. People here at Vanderbilt have us as a resource. People in the community have the Y and their local programs to go to. But additionally, where I see women really learning is they really need to go attend a support group. They will then hear other people in the group discuss similar situations, and by sitting back and almost kind of getting distance and being a viewer, hearing a similar story, women say, oh my gosh, I was hearing the events happening in my own life, and it made me realize this is not just upsetting behavior, this is abuse, and I need to take action.
Well, those are excellent comments, Margie. Thank you very much. Another question, though, real quick. What if I've come out of an abusive relationship, I've gotten divorced, I feel safe, and then suddenly I meet, you know, a wonderful person really quickly, let's say 2, 3, 4 months after the divorce. Any heads up or anything I should do to kind of take care of myself?
Yes, I would say begin to ask a couple of other safe people. Part of the recovery process from domestic abuse is learning how to find safe people that you know you can ask and they'll tell you the truth and they don't have something else to gain out of it and they can back off and respect your boundaries. That often can be your physician, your nurse practitioner, somebody in the EAP program where you work, perhaps even someone in the counseling office at a church that you attend or the Y in the community. There are many other places, and in fact, an excellent booklet for anyone, and they're offered here at Vanderbilt and other places, is a booklet called When Violence Hits Home. It's got great resources, and I would offer that to someone. But it's important that you begin to develop that safety net. And I would encourage people to go back and maybe even take their new boyfriend in to meet someone who is that safe person. And not that they have to examine them from head to toe, but that you say, I need to find out who this person is.
Okay. And at one point, we talked about doing background check as a possibility, right?
Right. I think in this day and age, if I were out of a relationship and an adult and dating again and got into a serious relationship, I would probably with my physician or with a family attorney find out and really actually do a background check. You could probably do it for $100 or less. You can connect with an attorney. But I don't think that's unreasonable doing in this day and age, because we find out financially what the person's background and what perhaps their history is.
Well, Margie, thank you very much for your time and expertise on this. I look forward to talking with you again. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us any comments on this Wellcast by clicking the Add New Comment link at the bottom of this page. If you have a story suggestion, please email it to us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu. Or you can use the Contact Us link on our website at healthandwellness.vanderbilt.edu. that health and wellness is all one word. Thank you again.